Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, it's Tuesday already. Tomorrow's 9/11. God, I hate that. I can't stand that. It's the worst. I hate to remember it. I hate to think about it. But it's tomorrow. So
I feel the same way.
I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to talk about it. Don't want to. But it is tomorrow. Well, today's the 10th. Big news today. The major news of the world. The new iPhone comes out at 1 o'clock our time. I can see you're not too excited. Yeah, he's happy with his iPhone 3. It does the job.
They've already said don't get too excited. You're not going to get much with this. A
new
camera.
Get plenty. Get excited. The greatest camera ever on a phone. A wide band. No, here's the newest thing I just found out. You know, your old iPhones had a 5-watt charger. It took whatever it took, 2-3 hours to charge.
Yeah.
Then the new current phones have a 12-watt charger, so more than double the speed of charging. The new one will have an 18-watt charger. Very fast charging. Again, I can see you're not too excited.
Let's run
this
out and get that. Yeah, right.
But for $2,000, you might save 20 minutes on charging.
Oh, wow.
All right, I can see you're not too excited about this. Okay, let's talk about it. We'll get back to that. Let's talk about something else. Oh, okay. Here's the next Trump scandal. They must get this guy. This is pretty funny to watch. Have you ever seen anything like this in your life?
It is pretty amazing.
You know, when Reagan got elected, when Bush got elected, whenever a Republican got elected, they slanted all the news and they, you know, kind of made it sound like he was a racist, like he's dumb. They always do that.
Yeah.
You know, they always give you that. He never reads. He can't listen. He can't talk. He's dumb. That's typical for Republicans. They kind of slant the news that way. But when Trump got elected, it wasn't just let's badmouth him a little. It was let's cancel every other story and 24/7 try to take this guy out. So they've been looking for the big, big, big knockout punch. They've been looking for the kill shot right at his head. That's the problem fake news has had. They keep looking. They keep swinging for the fences with these home run shots. I mean, think about how dumb this was. They tried to make it look like he was colluding with Russia. Russian collusion. Now, that campaign in the beginning was a little operation. It was like five people. It was Corey Lewandowski and a couple of people. They were colluding with Russia. As they'll tell you, they couldn't collude with each other at the time. So that whole Russian collusion, and believe it or not, they built this up into special counsel is appointed. How much did they spend? $35 million?
Yep.
2 years looking for this Russian collusion? All right, that's gone. That's off the table. But there's a couple of things going on. One, they must take him out, and this disgusting swamp weasel, Gerald Nadler, one of the lowest swamp snakes of all, is up for re-election, and he may have a primary challenge. He's not Trump-hating enough, believe it or not. This is how the I'm not kidding. There's going to be challengers. He's facing primary challenges from people to the left of him.
Wow.
Who hate Trump more than him. So he's got to make some moves. So that's why he's going to push for an impeachment hearing and an impeachment vote in the next, when is it, in the next week or two?
Yeah, I guess, well, to begin, right, they have to begin the impeachment, right?
They have to take some kind of
They ask the House to vote. That's the first step.
Have to have some kind of procedural vote.
Right.
So the impeachment may take a step or two forward. Now you're saying, impeach on what?
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Well, here's the problem. When they lost the Russia collusion, when that turned out to be a hoax, they then went to obstruction. But I know they've been meeting with attorneys to figure this out. The problem is there are three requirements for an obstruction charge, and this case meets none of the three. You have to have three things in place. And obviously there was no obstruction. There was nothing to obstruct. What would you be obstructing? But there's three things you got to have. Lawyers have been explaining this to them. A, the person must be knowingly obstructing. In other words, he must be intending to obstruct, knowing he's obstructing. Well, since there was nothing to obstruct, and of course Donald Trump knew that better than anybody, he knew there was no Russian collusion, so he can't knowingly obstruct because he would be fully aware there was nothing to obstruct. Second thing is the obstruction can't be anything that are in the president's constitutional duties. In other words, if it's in his power to do it, it's not obstruction. He can fire the FBI director at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So that what the actions he took are within his rights and his duties, so they can't be considered obstruction. And what is the third? Oh, the third thing is it has to be done covertly. In other words, you have to sneak around and do it. So when the president fired Comey, obviously it was a very public thing. So these three things make obstruction charges impossible legally. There's no obstruction possible. So they have moved on to this new thing now. He violated the emollience clause. And in the middle of America, people are saying to themselves, oh, no, not the emollience clause.
Yeah, that's serious stuff now.
The emollience clause?
How many people do you think are Googling that right now?
You know how many? Nobody. Nobody cares. They don't want to know. They don't care what the emollience. But the emollience clause basically says you cannot profit from being president. In other words, you can't make money for your business by being president. So they're claiming, by the way, if he did violate the emollience clause, I think it's a fine or something. It's not even an impeachable offense. But let's say he did, which he did not. Let's say he did violate the emollience clause. It's not that big a deal. But what that what they're going to say is that foreign leaders, when they come to Washington, many times stayed at the Trump Hotel. And some people rented the Trump Hotel ballroom or they ate in the Trump Hotel restaurant. Now, a couple of things. First, let's just start at the end. Two major organizations have brought lawsuits against the president for the emollience clause. He's been in court twice now on this. He's won. He not only has won the rounds, but in the last one, the judge thought the case was so preposterous, he dismissed it. He wouldn't even hear it. So there's no violation of the emollience clause. There's four cases pending. Two have already gone to court and been tossed out immediately by judges. And the last one, the judge said, it was the most ridiculous, frivolous, preposterous case he ever saw. No violation. A couple of things. One, the president has an agreement with the government that any foreign leader, anything like that, where they stay in a Trump hotel, all the money is turned over to the Treasury, any money they spend. In other words, if the Saudi Arabian head comes, takes the whole floor, by the time he leaves, the bill's $62,000. A check for $62,000 goes to the U.S. Treasury.
So that's very nice of him.
Yeah. There's no profit ever. There's never been a profit on a Trump property from any government, anything. So that's one thing. The other thing is, this is long before he ran for president. This is a couple of years ago, before he ran for president. He one of the things you do when you're a guy like that, you look around for where there's an opportunity or a market. Like in Palm Beach, he went there years ago, and there was the, what's the club? The Everglades Club, which was the private club of Palm Beach. It was so restricted. You had to be the waspiest wasp. Otherwise, you couldn't get in. It was impossible. And then they created the Palm Beach Country Club, which was like the Jewish country club, but that was like $1 million to get in. So if you were Asian, if you were an Arab, if you were India, if you were anything else, there was no club. There was nothing. That's where he saw the opportunity. That's when he created Mar-a-Lago. And nobody remembers this, but he led a civil rights crusade in Mar-a-Lago because they tried to block the club. And he brought up there was too many civil rights violations. He actually opened up the barriers in Palm Beach. So that's why he did that. Now, a few years ago, he's looking at Washington, D.C., and he realized they don't have a decent modern hotel. They got these wonderful old hotels like the Willard, the Hay Adams. You ever seen these hotels?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're very, it looks like Martha Washington is still staying there. They're very old. Looks like Ben Franklin is going to come down the hall.
Right.
Those kind of hotels. So if you want to have a big splashy wedding, a big affair, a big event, they don't have those kind of ballrooms. And they don't have a big, modern, glitzy hotel. So that's why he built the Trump International. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable. It's just.
I stay at the old ones.
You do?
They are old.
Oh, yeah, they are old. But if you go down there and you see the Trump Hotel, it's there's nothing like it in Washington. The biggest gleaming ballrooms, the lobby's unbelievable, the restaurant is great. It's so everybody in Washington hangs out there. They love to go there. There's no more bigger party than that lobby, that restaurant, those bars, and everybody uses the ballroom. So if you're a Saudi Arabian Sultan or whatever the hell you are, you're not going to stay in the Hay Adams. It looks bad to you. You want a big, glitzy, Dubai-looking kind of a place. So that's why they stay in the Trump Hotel. Even travel agents all told me, this is before before Trump took office, they would say they've never seen a hotel that great in Washington. It's the best hotel in Washington, maybe one of the two or three best hotels in America. So there's no violation of the emollients clause, but you're going to hear this from Nadler, this wormy little, I shouldn't call him wormy because worms are thin, right? This troll-like swamp snake.
And that's why we want to impeach him?
That's all they got right now is this emollients clause. Now, believe it or not, they're going to call Corey Lewandowski to testify. He has now testified before Mueller for 7 days. He testified before the Senate, before the House a million times. Every time he always asks that his testimony be made public, and he's demanding that Nadler let him testify in public because there's nothing to say. In fact, when he testifies, this is going to be what he keeps saying, that everything I'm telling you has been on the record 100 times. I've testified to this 5 times before. So keep an eye on this. Another fake poll. What is that poll today? The NBC News poll?
No, this is ABC Washington Post.
Washington Post must be a good poll then. So it's like 800 voters. It's mostly Democrats. There's very few Republicans in it. It's not likely voters, which is the actual voting public. This is called registered voters. That means you can use anybody.
Right.
In other words, if you say likely, one reason they do it, by the way, is it's much more expensive to do likely voters. You have to spend a lot more money because you've got to go find them. You got to see who the actual voters are. If you do registered voters, that can mean anything or anybody. In other words, the Washington Post could take the poll in the newsroom. And that's what they've been caught doing that kind of stuff. There was one poll a while back. It just said registered voters. Turns out they went to Newark to a Muslim neighborhood and they did the poll there.
Oh, that's a good spot. Yeah. It's representative.
Did you have the numbers before? It was like 830
people?
It
was 1,003 people total.
Yeah.
I think it was 877 or about registered voters. And I think 430 were leaning Democrat.
430 Democrats. Yeah. So if you look at it, it'll be 260 Republicans. They generally go 23% Republicans. It should be 36 or 37%.
Yeah.
And people have asked me, I have said this a lot, well, how do they get away? How do they justify that? They're using the 2008 model, which was the most peculiar model ever, because it was Barack Obama, which really, really inspired a lot of Democrats. They came out in bigger numbers than ever before. And McCain was a very weak candidate. Very few Republicans turned out for him. So that's where they get that one bizarre model where it was 23% Republican, 37% Democrat. They're using that 2008 model, which obviously is preposterous. It doesn't match any other election. So the fake polls show Trump approval rating is way down. Trump is way behind. It shows Biden could, in every poll, Biden beats Trump. Just like Hillary did. You saw how that worked out.
But you know what was troubling there? 60% said that they think we're going to have a recession.
Gee, why would they think that? Just because there were 3 solid weeks of every day CNBC and everybody yelling we're going to have a recession? Just because every news organization said we have a recession coming? You ask any financial guy. They don't see any recession coming. Every hedge fund genius is buying stocks as we speak. They don't see any recession coming. You know, they always tell you there's a recession coming, these fake news stories.
Because eventually it will, right?
Well, of course there's a recession coming. It's probably in 3 years. But they can't give you any reason why there would be a recession. Anytime there's a crash, there's a reason. The tech bubble burst. The housing bubble burst. There's no bubble right now, so nobody can give you an actual reason. Hey, by the way, you see all these candidates, like the top, Biden is way out in front. Warren and Sanders are way up there. Everybody else is in single digits. Let me just point out something to you. Every single nominee of the Democratic Party for the last few decades, whoever the nominee was in single digits at this point.
Uh-huh.
Kerry, Carter, Clinton, Dukakis, they were always like in seventh place and in single digits at this point. The reason for that is there's always leftovers from last time, like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, that have much more name recognition. They're much higher. And the leader at this point is always the donors candidate, the Jeb Bush, the Joe Biden, the donors candidate, because the donors have the power to push the guy first until the public, and it'll happen towards the end of the year, early next year. The public takes over and rejects the donor candidate.
Yeah, in New Hampshire, sometimes they do reject the popular choice.
Yeah, well, because when they say the popular choice, it means the donors push this guy first. Well, you look back now on Jeb Bush. Look back on that now. And the way he looked, the way he talked, the things he said, you wonder, how the hell did that guy ever, who would think he could win an election? You know, and a year from now, you look back at Joe Biden, by then he'll be totally senile and out of it. And you're going to say, how did anybody think this guy could, you know, I've been talking to doctors, brain surgeons. Apparently now brain surgery is an easier thing. They go in through somewhere else and they come up your, some tube and they get into your brain. But in the old days, they used to cut your head open.
Yeah.
And when Biden had these multiple brain surgeries in the old days, his head's been cut open a few times. And these brain surgeons told me, you cannot have that done and not lose a lot of brain cells.
Was it leak out?
Well, actually, they said the reason they're cutting you open is you have, what's it called, a brain aneurysm? A brain, whatever you had, was leaking.
Oh, wow.
That's why they have to cut your head open. He was having the leaking twice. So there's been a lot of leaking. They said when you cut someone's head open, they do lose brain cells. So this guy's had a major, major loss of brain cells.
Oh, okay. That explains
through the years. So, and he wasn't the brightest guy to begin with. So, you know, when your IQ is 98 and then it gets knocked down to 88 and then 78, it's a problem. So he's very, very, very experienced. That's why he's very practiced. He can recite all the stuff. He can sound like he knows what he's talking about, just reciting things. But then every so often, he doesn't know where he is, and he loses his place. Anyway, we got lots to get to. We'll get to this recession and this economy in a moment. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. New Scorsese movie is coming. Hey, I went back and looked at this. Goodfellas, would you agree, maybe one of the two or three greatest movies
Absolutely,
ever?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, when Goodfellas was released, the day it was released, what were the reviews?
Probably not good, right?
Well, here's one of them. These guys were the biggest reviewers at the time, Siskel and Ebert. Watch what they said before Goodfellas was even released, what their first impression was of this movie. Also, watch this. The 100 greatest movie lines of all time, the most famous movie quotes all cut together. And if you missed it yesterday, go look at this. George Carlin on why you don't have to worry about climate change. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
The Mark Simone Show.
710 WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. A lot of controversy about Times Square. These, what do you call them? Those figures. You know, those, what is it, like a talking Elmo and all those big, not puppets. Whatever you call them, those stupid cartoon figures all over Times Square are grabbing people. Here's a 14-year-old girl, and one of them just grabbed her ass, and they're pinching, grabbing, fondling, sexually harassing the women. They one study said 24 incidents in 1 hour. It's a big problem. What do you do about it? We've heard this story before through the years. You keep hearing this story, so obviously it's not solvable. I think the solution is, instead of dressing up like Donald Duck or Talking Elmo, make him just wear like a Charlie Rose costume or a Matt Lauer costume. At least that way you know what you're getting into. If you see a big puppet dressed like Matt Lauer, you know to run. Or a Harvey Weinstein costume or something. Hey, speaking of which, the New York Times reporters originally on that Harvey Weinstein story are now, I guess they have a book out. They're revealing a lot of stuff. Apparently, a lot of credit goes to Gwyneth Paltrow, who was one of the big stars of Harvey Weinstein movies. They give her credit for being the first real, important, serious whistleblower, that she was a major factor in taking down Harvey Weinstein. She, you know, when the Times stuff started, apparently, she got right on the phone with the Times and said, I want to tell everything. And she started telling the stories of Harvey Weinstein. Give her credit.
Well, they're trying to minimize her stories now.
Well, listen, that's what you do. You hire all these criminal lawyers and they come after you. But she was brave. She tells a story about there was a party at her house in the Hamptons. She invited everybody and Harvey's one of the guests. Only shows up like 2 hours early for the party. And she said she hid in the bathroom and cried. The funniest thing is, if you never realized how phony and treacherous and evil all these Hollywood people are, They all act like, oh my God, we can't believe he did this. We're going to shun him now. No more. We'll not do business with him again. They all act like they didn't know. Everybody knew. They all knew about it. Same thing at CBS News. They all knew what was going on. NBC News. They knew what was going on. Look at Matt Lauer. One of the women that he raped passed out in his office. Staff had to drag her down the hall to the nurse. They knew about it. Let's go to Tom in Fairlawn. Hey, Tom. Tom, are you there?
George.
George. Well, from now on, you're Tom. What do you want to say, Tom George?
George. I have a question. This guy Nadler and his crew of harassing the president, is there any line that they over, you know, that they can cross over where they can be called harassing the president?
You notice he's got the radio on, and it's like on another station. What are you listening to?
I'm listening to you.
I can hear it. It's something else. What are you listening to? Who's on against me?
Oh, I have it on.
Brian Kilmeade. That's his name.
Cell phone is a delay on the cell phone.
Really? You got a cell phone now?
Yeah.
Like one of those clamshell phones, right? What do you got? Like the Motorola StarTAC?
Now, this guy Nadler, what can be done with him, you know, harassing the president? Is there any way the president can get back and stop these guys from harassing him?
Well, that's a good question. I think the president likes Nadler harassing him. It's very good for the president. He enjoys fighting with these idiots. He's a real battler, a counterpuncher. He loves to be in a fight. I've known this guy for 25 years. If everything is calm and wonderful and peaceful, he's miserable. He doesn't like that. If you took him to the beach and you're lying out there in the sun and hear the waves, he'd be miserable. He'd be crazy. If a fight broke out right there, he'd be happy. He'd come to life. I've seen this in meetings where you're in a meeting, like a board meeting for something, and then the guy's reading the report. He goes, this was great. That was great. Everything was great. Everything's fine. He's like dozing off. He's like doodling on his paper. And then the guy says, now we have one big problem. Boom, his head comes up. He's like one of those firehouse dogs, comes to life, loves trouble. So Nadler is great for him. And you have to remember, to a lot of people that weren't sure about him, were you laughing?
He loves trouble. That's why he creates so much for himself.
Well, that is true. And a lot of these billionaires, that's how they got to be billionaires. Look at a guy like Bezos. Guy's made $70 billion. Now he's buying new businesses and the most impossible businesses. Nothing tougher than the supermarket business. He just bought a supermarket chain. Why do these guys torture themselves with that?
I guess that's how you become a billionaire.
If you made $70 billion, wouldn't you say to yourself, you know what, that's enough.
Yeah.
I think I'll go enjoy myself. Then they run out and they go, let me buy six more businesses and have to start all over again. That's just the way they are. So the point is, though, to a lot of people who weren't sure about him, that he looks like a successful guy. He looks like, but he's such a battler. Then they see all these people come after him. Mueller comes after him. This committee comes after him. And they watch him beat every opponent. He gets like this little kind of superhero aura about him. He's like Spider-Man, like beating. You got to admit, it was pretty impressive that he got through the Mueller thing in one piece.
Nothing's touched him yet.
Nothing's touched him. He took out the Bush machine to get the nomination. He took out the Clinton machine to win the presidency. He defeated Mueller. He defeated all these idiots. Look at all the people come after him. They're all gone. Anyway, when we come back, oh, you know who'll be with us? Josh Chelinski, great financial expert. Oh. Now, this is important stuff because is a recession coming? Well, we'll get to that. What should you do right now with your money? What about retirement? We'll get to that in a moment.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, hey, Josh Chelinski, you know, he's one of the top financial guys on the airwaves. You can hear his show here on WOR every Saturday and Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. He's a best-selling author. His latest book is Retirement Reality Check. Now, it's important if you're, everybody's going to retire no matter what age you are, but you got to be set up, have a game plan, all that stuff. And he's with us right now. Josh Chelinski, how you doing?
Great to be with you, Mark.
Hey, recession? Yes? No? Do we have to worry?
I don't think we have to worry about a recession. I think a lot of the Trump trade war fears are overblown. I'm still optimistic, but I think everybody should have a volatility buffer just in case the economy falls off its rails.
I want a volatility buffer. But what is that?
We all do. A volatility buffer. Doesn't that sound great?
It sounds great.
It's a product.
That's why
buy.
These guys are so great to listen to. They got all these terms.
Well, okay. Volatility buffer is we don't know whether we're going to have a recession tomorrow, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 6 years from now. No one knows the future. So a volatility buffer is to have 1 to 3 years of your salary in cash, treasuries, a fixed annuity, or cash value life insurance. Something that is untethered if we go through another depression, recession. Because when the economy falls off the rails, we have national debt all-time high. We have a Democratic Party that is now talking about socialism freely. So hide your wallets. Whatever happens in 2020, 2024, nobody knows. But I think everybody should have 1 to 3 years. America will survive whatever we go through next. But I think everyone should have a volatility buffer. That way you can sleep well at night. What I call a SWAN account in the book, Retirement Reality Check. I call it a SWAN account. Sleep well at night. Too many people are diversified, but if you think about 2000 to 2002 and 2008, in the 2008 recession, both stocks and bonds went down.
Yeah.
So people's 401ks became 201ks precisely because diversification didn't work. So a volatility buffer is my answer to market volatility.
Okay, what about this problem? The interest rates are getting so low, bonds, everything, interest rates so low. There used to be, 60-40 bond stock.
Sure.
But now a lot of people are thinking, I got to go more into stocks to make more money. But then your retirement account is at greater risk.
Well, that's why we like the 1 to 3 years of your salary, of what you're going to need in retirement or before retirement, set aside in cash in annuities that earn 3%. It doesn't have to earn a lot. It just has to be there. Will Rogers said, I care more about the return of my money than the return on my money. Right? I mean, that's a good one.
Josh Jelinski's book is Retirement Reality Check. What about, you have clients of all ages, like millennials, they stink at this, right? They're just not good at saving or planning.
Surprising, they are much better at saving than we think. But they're shell-shocked with fear. Because if you think about millennial parents, they're boomers. And boomers went through two of the biggest drawdowns in our lifetime. 2000 to 2002, the market was cut in half. People forget about that one, but that was after the dot-com bubble burst and 2008. So they came of age with a distrust for the stock market. So I find that they're good savers. They have a lot of cash because they're living in their parents' basement, but they have to make sure that they put a little bit of money into the stock market because that's usually where you have the best long-term returns in equity. So we're not against equities. We just think you should have a volatility buffer because the future is so uncertain.
Okay, but what are you talking about buying? Obviously, bonds, treasuries, all that stuff. But what else? Annuities? You got to be careful with those.
Well, you got to be careful with annuities, but they're not the redheaded stepchild that some on the TV and radio would have you believe. A lot of people say, they're high fee ones. Yes, there are high fee ones you should avoid. There are also ones with zero fees or no load that have fees like 1%. You can buy fiduciary based annuities, which means they act in your best interest. But think about this. Do you know anybody with a pension, Mark?
Yeah.
Do they complain about the checks they get every month?
Not a lot.
But most like their pension, but that's what an annuity really is. It's a pension every month. You're not going to make a lot, but if you have the right type of annuity, you can retire and sleep better at night because you're getting a check monthly. So a lot of people, I want people to decipher, okay, you have volatility buffer assets, SWAN assets, those don't have to make a lot. They just have to be there if we go through recession or depression. The market money, I like having market money as well for beating inflation and long-term growth potential.
Okay. Now, if you're listening, you're saying, I want more details. Ask him this. Just get the book. It's all in there. Retirement Reality Check by Josh Jelinski. But what about these negative interest rates? They have them overseas now. We actually put money in a fund and you're losing money.
Yeah, the German Bund. That's, I think, negative something percent.
Yeah, some are warning this is going to come here. What do we have to worry about this now?
I think we have to worry, ultimately, if we go through a recession, we could have what's called helicopter money, where literally the Treasury could say, the Fed could say, we're going to fund the national infrastructure plan. So we're going to disguise it. Really, quantitative easing was NERP. They just didn't call it that because there would have been no public appetite for that with the Republicans controlling Congress and President Obama leading the presidency. But quantitative easing was NERP. The treasure, the Fed was basically just taking debt on their balance sheet, which had never been, you know, happened before. And there's a problem. I mean, we have NERP, we have ZERP. Interest rates are headed lower. I actually liked that they were creeping up a little bit, but now there's a war on savers. I mean, it used to be you could have a CD and make 5%. That's what the rules of retirement have changed. Where yes, you know, annuities were bad 20 years ago when you could get treasuries at 7%. Can't do that anymore.
So what do you say to people who they want to stay in New York, they love New York, but they're retiring, they think, I got to move to North Carolina, my money will go farther there. What do they do?
Well, I think the moving to North Carolina, I was talking to people who were in Hurricane Alley in September, and they're now wanting to move to York, Pennsylvania, clients of ours, because they want to get out of Hurricane Alley. So I think, you know, people underestimate the costs of hurricane insurance, of flood insurance. People move from New York, New Jersey to Florida. They don't encounter, you know, good hospitals. I mean, Naples Community Hospital, NCH, stands for Never Come Home. So, I mean,
that's true.
Sometimes you have to be careful about moving down south. Yes, a lot of people are. We really have to get our act together. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, they are just crushing people. And the people who can afford to move, who pay taxes, are moving to Florida where they pay no state income taxes. We have a lot of clients doing that. But I think for the average person, it's a little bit overblown because then they're going to have to spend money on a house in Florida and a house up here because they're not going to want to withstand Florida in the summer. Have you ever been to Florida in the summer?
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
I don't want to go. I've been once. That was one too many times.
A couple days of snow is a lot better than 5 months of 100 degrees. So, the book is called Retirement Reality Check. It's by Josh Jelinski. He's the host of the great show, The Financial Quarterback. It's every
Saturday and Sunday at 9, right here on WOR.
9 to 11. You take calls. People can call you and if you got all kinds of questions. But just get the book, Retirement Reality Check. It answers everything there. So just give us one tip, like something we should buy right now.
One tip, well, I think everybody should make sure they have enough in term life insurance to protect their income. Should they die, I think you should get disability insurance to protect your income if you get disabled. And I think you should be saving 10 to 15% of your income. So that's three tips. Sorry.
That means having to meet with a life insurance salesman. That's just deadly. That's
well, we do have a service where we shop life insurance, so you don't have to meet with a nasty life insurance salesman. So they could reach out to us.
All right, Josh Jelinski. Get the book, Retirement Reality Check. It's a great book. Just came out on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock here on 710 WOR. Thanks for being with us. Great talking to you.
Great to have you.
Hey, check out the webpage. A couple of great things up there. The 100 greatest movie lines of all time. Also, the greatest movie ever, Goodfellas. This is interesting. The day it came out, what were the reviews? Take a look at this. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/mark.